Hey, and good evening. Welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald. This is our Sunday evening teaching that we do weekly. We'll be starting a series, and primarily the series is called DC Comics Exposed, Superman, Sun God, and the Antichrist. I think this will be a very relevant lesson or podcast that we'll be doing, teaching that we'll be doing, trying to really expose the wiles of the devil and his methods that he uses, stuff that's hidden in plain sight. So no further ado, let's go into the scriptures, because Superman is a iconic figure. Most people, Superman is their favorite superhero. But again, before we get into this teaching and this expose, I know some of other ministries have done an excellent job. One being Good Fight Ministries have done a good job with their videos. DC and Marvel Exposed has really great content, really great information, very eye-opening information. And I want to recommend another ministry. Little Light Studios have done an excellent job in times past in their video production of The Replacement God. So we're just trying to piggyback on some of the stuff that's already out there, but bring another spin, another voice, another other resources to help equip the saints and even those that who don't believe come to the truth to find out how they're being deceived. So let's go into the scripture. We're going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14 through 15 to kind of set the tone. What we're going to be talking about. This is part one, so it's quite a bit of information that we'll be covering in this series. So it reads, "Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people which are around about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." Even going back before chapters before this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe verses 19, 20, gives the children of Israel parameters. Don't worship the image of male or female, animals, the sun, the moon, all these other things that the Lord instructed them not to follow after these strange gods and not to worship the creation, fell into worship the creator, but worship the creation and making things that were part of creation their God. So we see within media, within sports, and we see within movies and within television and other things and all, there are people that are placed so high. These stars are what's called superstars, are almost put into a god or goddess-like state where people worship them. You go to a concert, you go to a Beyonce concert, people are falling out and just some other things and all, and screaming her name. And this is a form of worship. So you see within Comic-Con and other things and all, people getting dressed up as, or the anime expo and just other things and all, people get dressed up as their favorite character, take on the characteristics of the character, the names and everything is a form of worship. So the enemy is very slick in his methods. Years ago, we see within the entertainment industry how Paramount Pictures came out with remake of the movie Superman. There's been many remakes since Christopher Reeves initially starred as Superman, but bringing back the Superman, I guess, franchise Man of Steel. So what Paramount Studios end up doing is they partnered with pastors with sermon notes. So here's where I have to ask the question, if where the Christian community sometimes gets duped and trying to be so relevant. There's plenty of stuff that's within the Bible. There's plenty of stuff that pastors can do on their own, being led by the Holy Spirit to study for themselves, but to have tailor-made sermon notes from a secular movie studio should raise a red flag on why a secular movie studio all of a sudden, who produces a bunch of filth and other stuff, cussing and sex and other things and all, want to promote Jesus or it's an agenda. We're going to look at the Hollywood Reporter because they had some interesting things to say in regards to the sermon notes and all, and the Man of Steel movie being used as ministry resource tools for pastors to present a very encouraging message. It reads, aggressively going after faith-based audience, Warner Brothers. It's Warner Brothers. Excuse me, my bad. It's not Paramount, but it's Warner Brothers Studios. So the correction on my part is Warner Brothers Studios were the actual ones that were promoting this. Is comparing Superman to Jesus as a way to trumpet a Man of Steel and encourage ministers across the country to speak about the film. Ministryresources.org, written by Craig Dittweiler, a theologian, author, and cultural commentator who is an associate professor of communication at Pepperdine University. Entitled Jesus, the Original Superhero, the 9-page document is available for a download on a special Man of Steel Ministry resource site, the brainchild of Warner Brothers. The site also includes the Father's Day Conversation Guide and all part of effort and encourage ministers to educate and uplift your congregations. So this was a good method through Warner Brothers to market the movie to a large base of Christians for economic reasons. It wasn't purposes of propagating the gospel message and getting truth out there. It all had to do with economics and the influence of a pastor who's presenting this message and presenting Superman as a Christ-like figure. And I've heard other people who try to incorporate movie themes into sermons, such as The Matrix, which is very Gnostic, very anti-God, but people try to paint it in where The Matrix is, you know, it's really the world system and we're in a matrix and all this other stuff that's going on. And Neo is really like Jesus, and it's Neo is actually an antichrist type figure. But again, Christians get deceived into this, wanting to believe like, okay, this is a Christ-like figure. So is Superman really a Christ-like figure? You see some other things and all that try to present him in that manner, but you see how Warner Brothers try to present him as a Christ-like figure and pushing their movie up on Christian pastors to promote it for themselves. So forgive me with the notes. It's not Paramount, it's Warner Brothers Studios were the actual ones. So Superman really like Christ Jesus figure? So is he really a Christ-like figure? Let's dive in and begin to examine if this is the truth or is it lies and deception? Does he really mirror Christ? So we see that the creators of Superman, which were both Jewish, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, created Superman. And some people try to paint the picture of Superman's dad, Jor-El, type of God the Father, sending his only begotten son, Kal-El, to the earth to be the savior. We see that the names for Jor-El means God will uplift, which is Jor-El is Superman's father, and Kal-El is the voice of God. We find that also to Jor-El found that he can only had enough time to build a spacecraft to save his son Kal-El, and he decides to send Kal-El to Earth, realizing he will gain superhuman powers under the Earth's more intense yellow sun and lower gravity. So in other words, Superman, which we'll get a little bit more into this, Superman gets his powers from the sun, absorbing the rays of the sun, which is interesting within itself. When we get a little bit more into this expose, even people use, they use the name of God. El is the name, Hebrew name of God. There's some Bible scholars believe that's not the case. Again, we'll get a little bit more into that at a later date. We see that Siegel and Shuster use the name El. People are, this must be Christ and Superman's parents that take him in and adopt him was Jonathan and Martha, biblical type names and just some other things and all. And they take and they raise him up and eventually in Smallville, and then he goes to Metropolis and all these other things. He must be like a Christ-like figure. But we have to ask the question that both Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster were not messianic believers or believers in Christ. So did they really create this character to be a figure of like Jesus? Jesus, which was being Yeshua being Jewish, was he really, did these creators really think about when they were creating Superman? And even as we go a little bit more into this expose, the initial Superman is not what the finished product of the Superman he had. It was drastically different. So Jor-El didn't send Superman primarily to really save the Earth. It was to enhance his superpowers. So even when we look at the word Superman, we have to examine the philosophies and teachings of Friedrich Nietzsche, which believed that the Superman would replace God. This is Nietzsche uses and makes this a significant language. Once when men looked on the far stretching sea, they said, God, but I teach you to say Superman, that is the conception, or in the way correlatives, the future lords of the earth, he says, will replace God. Nietzsche goes on to say, the men of the future who will redeem us not only from the hitherto reign ideal, but also from which was bound to grow out of it, the great nausea, the will of nothingness, the nihilism, this bell stroke of noon, of the great decision that liberates and will again restore its goal to the earth and its hope to man. This antichrist and anti-nihilist, this victor over God, and nonetheless, he must come one day. So the very essence of Nietzsche's Uberman or Superman was to replace God. Even when we look at the German Nazi Party and Adolf Hitler, really fed off of some of Nietzsche's writings and teachings. Hitler was trying to genetically enhance Superman, and also to thought he was a Superman and was like the god of Germany. So here we have that the Superman is a godlike figure that will replace God. So when we look at the very essence of that word, so when we go into also to, let's look at the word Antichrist. So that's very important. The word Antichrist is a Greek word. Greek translations, Antichristos, meaning opposite to Christ, against Christ, one who puts himself in the place of Christ, one who opposes Christ, an opposition of Christ, acting in place of Christ, a rival. Christ are the enemy or opponent of Christ. So it can be, Antichrist can be the opposite of Christ, one who puts himself in place or in opposition or a rival. When we look at the scripture, 1 John 2:18, it states, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so many Antichrists have come, therefore we know that it is the last hour. So here we have, we're looking at Superman. Could this really be a type of figure that's really setting the minds and hearts of people to receive something that's replaces or in place, not just an opponent or opposition, but in place of God? That's where the deception will come in with Antichrist, because it was like, oh, this must be the Messiah because he does X, Y, Z, but it's not. So TV, which is called programming, and movies, this is the reason why it's called programming. It's a way of programming people's minds and wiring it a certain way to receive something. So let's start getting down to the nitty gritty, because again, be those say, well, Superman is Christ-like figure and it's very inspirational. I see so many different things and all, but let's look at some of the things that Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel came up with. What does the word Krypton mean? The planet Krypton. Krypton stems from the Greek word meaning hidden or secret. The Latin translation of cryptos is occult. So Krypton stems from hidden or secret, which are something that's esoteric, something that's hidden or secret. The Latin word cryptos is a cult, which is very unique. So when a lot of these people who write these comic books are very much demonically inspired or channeling a lot of the writings and other stuff they're getting, we have to always question it. Even when you're listening to somebody who is preaching or teaching the gospel, even myself, you're supposed to search it out for yourself, but you have to be able to discern what source is it stemming from. So cryptos means occult, or Krypton means hidden or our secret. So even when we go and we look at the years and years that the emblem on Superman's chest with the like kind of like rectangle type shape with the S meant S for Superman. That's not the case in point. The insignia on Superman's chest is commonly thought as the capital letter S, which we all probably thought again, I thought for years and years and years until I really started to study. But this is actually, it's a serpentine crest, a Krypton's house of El. So it's a symbol. Initially, when they came up with this symbol, it was not an S. It was a symbol of, it was a snake symbol that was attached to his outfit or his costume. It's actually a serpent and not an S. And we know, going back to the book of Genesis, what the serpent is. And most cultures think that the serpent was the one that came, helped to liberate mankind. So when we look at some of the early comics of both Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, perhaps the clearest progenitor of the modern superhero is Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster's mystic hero, Dr. Occult, who first premiered in New Fun number 6 in 1935. Dr. Occult started out as a traditional ghost detective, but underwent a startling transformation in 1936. So let's go ahead and presume. So this is a precursor to Superman, was Dr. Occult. As historians, Les Daniels notes that the doctor developed immense strength and began flying around in a red and blue outfit. He thus served as a prototype for the unpublished Superman. Here's some other things that goes on and talks about how the Superman, which kind of correlates with how they came up with the Superman costume. Of course, the superhero starts with the Superman, and the superhero costume begins with the Man of Steel as well. It's often recognized that Superman, the famous red and blues, were inspired by a regalia of circus strongmen, but there were other influence too. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster took the influence for Superman costume from other sources and varied as pulp heroes like Zorro, medieval formal wear, myths, legends like Hercules and Samson, and comic strip heroes like Flash Gordon. Perhaps the least acknowledged influence on Superman's famous appearance is Siegel and Shuster's first comic book hero, Dr. Occult, the ghost detective from 1935. So this double verifies or confirms that Siegel and Shuster came up with the Superman costume based on Dr. Occult. We read on and we go on. So we already established that Superman is the prototype of Superman, comes from Dr. Occult, which later becomes Dr. Mystic, because using the name Dr. Occult, especially in the 30s, that kind of sends, like, people are spiritually, a little bit more spiritually sensitive now. In this postmodern Christianity, people that are being woke, it would go straight over their head. They would, and the lack of discernment and other things and all, people are very much easily, much more easily deceived. This is the comic book. Dick O'Donnell unequivocally declares that students of the history of comics must regard the Dr. Occult mystic figure as a definite prototype of Superman, performing many of the feats Superman later performed, but doing so by supernatural rather than super scientific means. So Superman is a prototype of Dr. Occult or Dr. Mystic, instead of super scientific or super strength. Dr. Occult did things with supernatural things, which is, there's only two realms. One the true living God through the power of the Holy Spirit, or through Satan and the demonic realm. So the latter, the demonic realm, especially Dr. Occult, was accessing demonic powers in, quote unquote, in this comic. So Superman fits the bill of Dr. Occult or Dr. Mystic with the red and blue, or blue and red and blue, or blue and red costume and other things and all is well documented. So when this answers the question that when Siegel and Schuster formulated Superman, they weren't thinking about like, oh, we're creating a Christ-like, Jesus Christ-like figure where this is going to elevate Jesus, where millions and millions of people are start reading the comics and turn to the gospel and turn to Jesus and get saved. On the contrary, of something else that's working. So I don't think Satan would elevate these things being turned into movies and other things and all. There's a hidden agenda behind this method and madness. Now we look and we ask the question before we started doing this expose, is Superman a type, Superman character, a type of Christ or something else? Let's examine. Is Superman really a sun god? Not the sun, S-O-N, son of God, not being an example of Jesus, but being something that many ancient cultures have worshiped sun god throughout the different centuries, throughout the different continents that spread out through this whole entire world. Superman is no means a pacifist. This is coming from an interview with Grant Morrison. To put this in context, Grant Morrison is one of the most prolific comic book writers out there in this very day, but is heavily involved in the occult practices, promotes chaos magic and other things and all, which he really promotes, helps aid him in his writing abilities and other stuff. And he really, when he's out speaking and other things and all, he promotes occult-like practices and all. So he's and when he's writing, he's channeling this information from the demonic realm. But this is what he says. He says, Superman is no means a pacifist in Christ's sense. Superman would never turn the other cheek. Superman punches out the bully. Superman is a fighter. And when did Christ ever batter the devil through a mountain? A lot of the mythical sun god elements, which are layered onto the Christ story, also appear in the story of Superman. So in essence, he's saying you have these pastors who Warner Brothers was pushing to have sermon notes. Oh, we have this new movie, The Man of Steel. Here's some nice sermon notes that you can use for your church to preach such an inspirational message that really Superman is like Jesus Christ in every way, in a significant way. And not only that, bring your people to the movies so we can line our pockets at the box office, but people were deceived. So here's this man saying the truth that Superman is not really a Christ-like figure, but a figure of a sun god. Let's go ahead and progress a little bit more and dig a little bit more into this. This comes from the writings of Grant Morrison, which we just mentioned. He mentioned Superman in an interview being a sun god. Here's his book called The Super Gods, which he states, he, Superman, was Apollo, the sun god, the unbeatable supreme self, the personal greatness of which we all know and were capable. So Grant Morrison holds the belief that Superman isn't a Christ-like figure, but he's a figure of a sun god. And we're going to prove this, and we're going to look into the connection of this. Here we have an article that was done a year ago on ScreenRant.com, and it was entitled, Superman's Lineage is Proof That He is a Literal God, which raises some interesting things. Here's some excerpts from the article. It says, one villain may have given an answer for why the Man of Steel is seemingly imbued with power greater than most. In Superman, the Last God of Krypton, by Walt Simonson and Greg Hildebrandt and Tim Hildebrandt, a Kryptonian god named Synthonia awakens to find Krypton destroyed and seeks out the last remaining member of the civilization. She discovers Superman on Earth, and after the display of his power, believes him to be god like her. The two later have an altercation when Synthonia realizes Clark is a mortal, only growing more outraged when he tells her he belongs to the House of El. Synthonia tells Clark that he and that the Els are actually descendants of the greatest enemy, Ra'el, the Kryptonian sun god. So this is very unique in itself, because Ra'el is like an offshoot. If you look at the Egyptian sun god Ra, R-A, you just add an O, it's the same thing. Again, in this expose, we'll get a little bit more into this, because there's an actual, there's people actually practicing a religion of Ra'el, a byproduct of Superman, that's out there, and it's books that's being written out there also too about Ra'el. So the plot gets really much more thickened. Here we see the depiction of Synthonia and the battle with Kal-El or Superman. Superman lets her know, looking at this, she says, my name, demon, is Kal-El. And she says, and like the ancestors, I reject you willingly. It goes on to say, within this depiction of them fighting, this is Kal-El, the House of El, the House of Light. You're descended from the house of the greatest enemy, the sun god who cast me into the void, Ra'el himself. So here we have that Superman is a descendant from a sun god, Ra'el, which is Ra, which again, we get a little bit into it later. The article concludes, while this look at Clark's celestial heritage came from an elsewhere world story, it would certainly help explain why Superman is as powerful as he is. Fans already know that the inhabitants of Krypton gain powers when exposed to yellow sun rays, as seen with Clark, Kara, and even Krypto. But the father of Clark's house is Ra'el, the most powerful figure in Kryptonian pantheon. Rather than his biology, the Man of Steel steadily increasing levels of power could be credited to his divine bloodline and bathing himself in the rays that Ra'el is connected to. Perhaps Superman's trip to the solar system wasn't a last-ditch effort to save him, but a matter predetermined by the gods of Krypton. Very interesting. So how does this add up? Because we see within Freemasonry and the occult, different symbolism and esoteric writings and other things and all, all has a meaning. So we see the insignia on Superman's chest isn't the capital letter S, but it's a serpent. We already established the fact that he is a sun god, S-U-N, not the son of God. So he's connected to the sun. But within esoteric occult view on serpent and sun, it has very powerful meaning. The writings of Manly P. Hall, he states, among nearly all these ancient peoples, the serpent was accepted as a symbol of wisdom. So no matter almost any culture that you go around the world, the serpent is held in such high esteem and a symbol of wisdom. As we progress and we move on, still within some of the writings of Manly P. Hall, in his writings, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, he says the serpent is often used by the ancients to symbolize wisdom. We already stated that. It's just an overlap. When we look at the sun and the serpent, very powerful meaning behind it. It says, along with the sun as the great fire god, and in due time identified with him, was a serpent worship. In the mythology of primitive world, the serpent is universally the symbol of the sun. As the sun was the great enlightener of the physical world, so the serpent was held to have been the great enlightener of the spiritual by giving mankind the knowledge of good and evil. So see the combination of the serpent on Superman's chest, him being sun god, the two intertwined. So we see the sun represents the enlightener of the physical world. The serpent represents the great enlightener of the spiritual world, which came to give mankind knowledge of good and evil. When we go back to even what we read in Genesis 3, what the serpent present to both Adam and Eve, you should be as gods. And their eyes were open to know the eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to know good and evil. And you should never die. So this has been a philosophy and teaching that's permeated throughout centuries and throughout the world, this Luciferian, satanic philosophy and teaching. So it's embodied in this when we're looking at Superman, the combination of the serpent being on the chest and, again, being a sun god, the two intertwined together. Here's writings from Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. He says, thousands of years ago, men worshiped the sun. Originally, they looked beyond the orb to the invisible god. They personified him as Brahma, Amun, Osiris, Bel, Adonis, Melkarth, Batharis, Apollo. Krishna is the Hindu sun god. Matthias, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that his birthday is December 25th. So people try to incorporate, oh, okay, I know, like, neither here or there, celebrate the birth of Christ, but there's pagan roots within Christmas and other things that take place. But people try to say, well, you know, Jesus is a offshoot of Matthias, which is not the truth. Again, that's a lesson within itself, separate teaching that we can dive in at a later point, because Jesus doesn't even come close to mirroring the mythology of Matthias. But some people try to throw that stone, which does not work out. So you may ask, in time so far, why you do such teachings like this, and it's harmless. You know, the comics are harmless. You start reading the comic books and a lot of things with DC and Marvel and just some other stuff that's really, because you start going the extra mile and you're starting to see it a little bit more incorporated in the movies. It's starting to become a little bit more dark because they're following, they're writing the scripts from the comic books, which is very occultic, very esoteric. It's becoming more blatant and it kind of ease you into it. It's because Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So we're here to expose, shed light on darkness and expose it, because so much going on. Again, if young people start watching DC and Marvel, they start watching the movies, then you have these adult graphic novels that are written by people like Grant Morrison, who is a writer of both Superman and Batman in this the latter editions and all. This man is very much involved, again, in occult practices, and a lot of these authors are involved in occult-like practices and all. Alan Moore is another one that comes to mind, who states he is one of the other most prolific comic book writers. So if you look at the two of the most prolific comic book writers that are out there, both practice magic. And when I mean magic, hard K magic, I'm not talking about magic pulling a rabbit out of the hat type of magic where they use magic with the letter K, which is sending you a sign that they're like heavily involved in occult practices, practice chaos magic and other things that are taking place, using psychedelic drugs, just much more other things. We've covered even things with Dr. Strange, people that wrote Dr. Strange and the Scarlet Witch, people that are very heavily involved in psychedelic drugs and occult practices and all. So we are living in the last days in the spiritual war that's taking place. And the enemy is the prince and power of the air. He uses media and other things and entertainment and other things and all to send out his evangelistic message to grab the hearts and minds of people to lead them astray. So follow this series that we're doing, this expose that we're doing. We'll be doing part two, hopefully soon. Pray for me as I pray for you. God bless. This is the End Time Shofar Bible Prophecy Podcast and signing out. You guys have a blessed day.